Welcome back to the Evolution Pod Club. I'm your host, Jackie Seiden. So, we all want to know how to manifest all the things we think we want right now. We want to know how to create them. We are beginning to understand that we are the creators of every aspect of our life. So, now that we know that, how do we create abundance from love? How do we manifest everything we want? Well, here's the thing. You do not need to learn how to manifest. You have been manifesting every moment of every day since you were born. You had some beliefs that were beneficial in certain areas, and you were able to follow excitement and interests and curiosities, and you were able to manifest things that you prefer, things you're excited about, parts of your life you enjoy. You also may have had some limiting beliefs, which created fears and the perception that you were lacking in certain areas, especially in worthiness. And you sought validation from other people, and as you created in lack, well, now you perceive certain areas of your life are lacking. But of course, they're not lacking, because everything is exactly perfect just as it is. And the way to manifest consciously is to see life is exactly how it should be right at this moment. Know that you are abundant, that you are worthy, that you are whole. And know what you truly want is to express your love, and you do not need any material things in order to do that. But if you want to talk about material things, let's talk about it. If you're listening to this right now, I imagine you have enough water to drink, you have enough food to eat, you have clothes to wear, and you have a place to stay at night. And if you're listening to this right now, you most likely have some kind of device that basically acts as a computer in your pocket at all times. And if you showed that computer to, say, a king or queen from centuries ago, their minds would be blown and you would be a rich-ass bitch. And then they would see you walk into a room and flip a switch and the lights turn on magically all by themselves, and you would seem abundant and magical, and their validation would make you feel worthy. Then you would get in your car and drive anywhere you wanted to go at any time to get whatever you need, and you would seem to this king or queen to be free. Freer than he or she could ever be. Freer than any king or queen even today could ever be. It's all a matter of perspective. And in order to create everything you truly want, you really have to see that you are abundant and trust that the inner you is the one doing the creating. Creating everything for your benefit and growth and evolution. If the creating was left up to the limited physical you, you would wipe out every negative thing and therefore flatten out your life into two dimensions, and there would be nothing left, and you'd be standing in a white room all by yourself with nothing going on. You believe that you are not perfect as you are in this moment. Well, guess what? You were born perfect, and you quickly adopted beliefs from your parents, your teachers, friends, society, that you had to act in a certain way in order to be liked, loved, and respected. You believed that in order to receive validation, you had to be nice, or you had to be honest, or a million other qualities that you learned so that you could spend the rest of your life trying to be these things in order to receive love. But that's just the inauthentic you. That's not you. The real you, the authentic you, knows you are already love. And can love make a mistake? No. Can love get it wrong? No. And neither can you. And if you can forgive yourself and forgive everyone around you and forgive your conditions, take responsibility for where your life is right now, if you are willing to process your limiting beliefs and the fears they activate, be grateful for them, practice gratitude, meditate so you know the difference between your higher self and the ego self, and can tell when your higher self is sending you inspired ideas, and push past the fear that pops up to act on your highest excitement in every moment, then the life of your dreams will unfold. And there is no better example of that than the woman sitting across from me right now. She is a master manifester. She is authentic as they come. It is true, man. And I couldn't be more honored that she is on this ride with me. Some of you may know her as Quinn from Scandal. You may have seen her on Broadway starring as Dawn in Waitress. But don't worry, because if you didn't see those, she has three insane projects coming out. Shonda Rhimes' Inventing Anna on Netflix. She is starring along Pete Holmes, who is so lovable, almost as lovable as she, in the multi-camera comedy on CBS, Smallwood, and will be starring in a Christmas movie called Christmas Takes Flight, where this movie plays a pilot. I cannot wait. I am dying. Cannot wait to see it. And who knows what the hell else she'll be doing next, because there are no limits to what she and you are capable of doing. And I just love to bear witness, and I'm so honored that she's one of my nearest and dearest and bestest friends. And we actually have two kids the same age. If that doesn't bond us for life, our daughters have the same birthday. Mic drop.
Yay!
Miss wow. Katie Quinn Jack. Lowe's the first.
Hi, everybody.
What?
Thank you, Jackie, for having me on the Evolution Pod Club.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm obsessed with this podcast. I feel that was unbelievable. I mean, that intro was like, it was beautiful. It was
you
really
inspired
beautiful.
That. That's and what I'm came to so, me thinking about I'm you.
I'm so honored. Like, I truly. I'm so honored. And obviously, if you think I'm a great manifester, then I was fortunate enough in this lifetime to manifest a friendship with you, because you're taking me to even higher planes and levels than I thought I could get to.
Oh, well, that is honestly so nice. But the truth is, you are taking yourself to those levels and planes, which is great. I mean, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about how you came to this work? Because your story is somewhat unbelievable.
It's so fucked up. Am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yes, bitch, curse.
Okay, okay, great.
Say
great,
that great. Shit.
So after I had my daughter, Vera, I got diagnosed with postpartum depression and was the lowest place I'd ever seen in my life. And I suspect now, looking back, that I think I had perinatal depression and anxiety as well. I think I was pretty mentally ill my whole pregnancy, to be honest. A mixture of the hormones and COVID and quarantine and just immense amounts of fear. I think I've run maybe anxious my whole life, but always was able to grasp onto tools like meditation or yoga or physically working out or friendships and support. I have a wonderful family and husband and friends like Jackie and things like that were able to get me out. And this time around, it was so much bigger and worse than anything I'd ever faced. I'd never felt overwhelm, fear, panic, had suicidal thoughts, had horrible thoughts about hurting my children. I mean, the truest sense, you guys listening, of like the textbook definition of symptoms of postpartum depression, where you're uncontrollably sobbing for no reason. And also, nothing makes sense. It's all irrational. Nothing was wrong. None of us had COVID. Again, like you said in the beginning, we had a roof over our head, an iPhone in my pocket. It was inexplainable. And yet, the overwhelming fear that something bad was happening or about to happen was immeasurable. And there were very few people in this dark time in my life who I could go to. And thank God I am perfect and reached out to my perfect friendship in Jackie Seiden. Because you guys, I couldn't go to friends that I had for 20 years. I couldn't really go to my husband. I mean, my husband was very supportive, but he was over it. He was over it. He was over me crying all day, every day. And rightfully so. I mean, it had been going on for months. And he was trying to stay sane and emotionally strong for our son. We have a 3.5-year-old toddler. So at a certain point, he was sort of like, Katie, I don't know what to tell you. You're in therapy, you've gone to a psychologist, you're seeking medication, and I we're trying all the things we can. And like my friends of 20, 30 years from college, I just really didn't have this instinct that they could handle me, or that they could tell me what I needed to hear, or that I could really get as dark as I was feeling. And there was only two friends, three, that really I could go to. And one of them was Jackie Seiden. And I think it was because I knew that you were operating at a place of true alignment and higher self, where you loved me unconditionally even through this, and you knew that this was all okay for whatever reason. Like, exactly. This was really going to come around and be something I would look back upon as a real shift in my life. Because I think when people who are listening to this podcast, if you can ever go back in your life and really look at the moments where the bottom has fallen out and life has brought you to your knees, that's where I was. And Jackie kept talking about, kept saying boot camp. I didn't know what the fuck she was talking about. But you kept saying things that were really beautiful and made sense. And we would go on walks. COVID was a huge trigger for me. And so we would go on walks in our neighborhood, 6 feet apart with double masks on. And I was so scared of death. And I was so scared of me dying myself or hurting my children, or pain was around the corner. And I was so afraid of everything. And you really just held space for that. And really kept saying things that I was like, what happened to the Jackie Seiden I knew a year ago? Because a year ago, Jackie Seiden and I have been friends for a very long time. Yes. Our husbands have been best friends for like 15 years. And this Jackie Seiden, who I was taking walks with at the lowest low of my life, was saying things. So on all the walks, you would just, it was so crazy. I didn't really know that you were working with Joshua. I didn't know. Again, you kept referring to this boot camp, and I was so in my own head, I couldn't even like hold space to be like asking you what the fuck you were doing. But I knew that I was responding. And, you know, if you're if I'm hanging out with someone at a super high vibration, I go to meet them, you know? And so I think it was so wonderful to spend time with you in those dark days. And I was so sensitive to anyone's energy making me less well. And you were making me more well. Well, I guess I was making myself more well, but you were helping me see that. And it was just, you were working at a very high vibration. You were in flow. You were really accepting. And
I think that's the really key for people who have people in their lives going through something. If you feel that someone is going through something in your life and you at all perceive it as wrong or can be fixed or needs to change, or that person needs to do this or do that, then it is activating your own fears and you're trying to control the situation to make yourself feel better. But if you can check yourself for any of that and just come with total acceptance, fight back any urge you have to control, offer up anything, and just like you said, be there and hold space. And that's part of giving love. That's part of adding love to your reality. It's just acceptance and love. And the truth is, nothing you were going through or anyone is going through when they're going through a dark time is ever wrong. There is no wrong. It's a part of the journey. And you know, as someone who's not in that place, oh, I see that this is part of her journey. You don't want to get in and make it wrong. Otherwise, you're adding fear to it. It's just going to activate your friend or loved one more, and it's going to activate you more.
It is so, this works, by the way, in every fucking relationship in your life, because it's like this book, this kid's book called The Rabbit Listened. Is that what it's called?
Yep. The Rabbit Listened.
Okay. So that's who you were for me, which was, you weren't telling me, oh, medication is wrong. You weren't saying medication is right. You weren't saying postpartum depression is wrong or postpartum depression is right. And you weren't saying, oh, having those horrible thoughts about your son is wrong. You were just literally listening and saying that you loved me, and that, and it was like very, very non-judgmental and never giving me fixes. You know, I was really not gravitating towards friends who were like, for example, I have a very good friend of a billion years who was like, well, have you tried microdosing? And I was like, dude, I love you so much, but like, you're not the friend for me in this scenario, because like, I'm literally having scary thoughts about myself, my life, and my child. Like, this is, we are at DEFCON 4, people. Like, this is really scary.
And the truth is, when you were talking, you would actually say things that you were thinking you wanted to do. And they were all inspired, not things someone had told you to do. So if you're hearing that someone has inspiration to do something, that's all you can say is, what do you think you need? Because the truth is, as we say over and over again, you know better than anyone else, even in that space. You're your best guide, teacher, guru, you know, friend, you are, and you have the answers. Your inner self is showing you them when you're ready. All you need is for your limited, fearful self to get out of the way so that you can do the things you needed to do. And what did you do? You pushed past mountains of fear to, if you don't mind me saying, to
go, I don't care.
I might know you had her on your podcast to go see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
You pushed through mountains of fear to go on medication while you were nursing. You had to deal with all, I mean, we're
it
talking
was terrible.
About person.
Like,
yeah.
Oh,
you
I was
eat
like,
organic. You eat.
I'm
like
I don't even take Tylenol. I was so terrified of, and also I had every single stigma attached of, wait, hold on 1 second.
Go ahead.
In case it's the Canadian government. Guys, this is Canadian quarantine, 14 days where people can, there's no Instacart. So we are just, I was so upset about having to take medication. And I was so upset that I was going to be someone that takes medication. I cannot even tell you. I the friends in my life who flippantly are like, yeah, whatever. I've been on Zoloft for 25 years. Like, awesome for them. Amazing. And to be honest, I support those people on my podcast, like people who've had postpartum depression. I was like, yes, 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 yes. And then when it came to me,
you had limiting
and
beliefs.
A psychiatrist saying you have to go on something. My limiting belief was, I mean, the thoughts were, I've always been the stable person. I'm not sick. Like, I just was like, that's not my identity. That's not
right.
who I am.
Right. There's judgments on yourself. Like, we're harder on ourselves than anyone else, of course.
Yes. And so I was really at diagnosis. I was really struggling with how they wanted to help me. And then I woke up on a Saturday morning and had a really scary thought about hurting my son. And I had an inspiration of, I'm going to Walgreens immediately. Mm-hmm. And this has crossed a line of like, this isn't, this is like really bad.
Yeah. And you knew.
I knew. And what was so miraculous about, and look, like I'm on 50 milligrams right now. And I don't know what the future will hold because good Lord, some of the side effects with Zoloft are a fucking nightmare. You guys who are listening, you cannot have an orgasm. I am not. I have tried. There's a shitty part. There's shitty side effects of Zoloft and there's great things of Zoloft. And you know what? Like we will address them. And I will work to be addressing them as soon as I wean breastfeeding from my daughter because I'm having still such hormonal swings as a breastfeeding mom. And the doctors have recommended, you know what, let's stay here on Zoloft, like, and let's see until you're weaned and she's not done breastfeeding anymore. And then I'm going to start to titrate down. Maybe. So the bad news is the orgasm. That fucking sucks. The great news is that the little bit that I'm on got me to the place where I could at least get out of bed and show up to a yoga class and show up to say to Jackie, what is this boot camp? Who the fucking hell is Joshua? And have the capacity to sign up. And I signed up.
Even though there's always a story of not enough time, not enough energy, you can stretch time. That's just fear popping up. Anytime you want to do something, as we always say, if it's inspired, the fear pops up and you've got to push past it. Recognize that's just fear getting in the way, stopping you from acting on the inspiration. And then you did sign up. And I actually want to talk about how you've been, because it's been a real example for me, how you've been in the boot camp. For example, Katie and I have very different fears. We have different beliefs about ourselves. So our limiting beliefs are in different areas. Yeah. And
like, you don't care about death that much. And I'm like a fucking terrified. Like,
well, it's
like, we have such different, we have such different limiting beliefs about stuff.
Well, we've talked about this death. I can't call it death, but death, I would have said was my biggest fear forever, but it turns out it's really about knowing too much. And then I get sent to a panic attack, but I know I do have a beneficial belief that death is not real. You can never lose anyone. You are able to, but okay, for example, like we get partners sometimes in a boot camp just to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. I still better, but I still care so much about what people think. I'm still acting in this inauthentic persona of I need to be like warm and loving and nice to be liked, loved, and respected. And I want someone to think things about me that I'm capable, smart, can handle, enlightened, or whatever. And my 13 listeners know this because I
know
that I had imposter syndrome about doing this podcast. So Katie had a partner, got an assignment, you know, who knows? There was a written assignment, an inspired assignment that Gary Bodley had channeled through Joshua. She didn't understand what the assignment was or didn't even see that there was an assignment. So she didn't understand what we were supposed to email the other person. Yeah. So Katie's like, what am I supposed to email my partner? Just like some stream of consciousness. Now I assumed she saw there was an actual concrete assignment. And I said, yeah, so if there's more you want, I'm thinking that's just to boot, you know, like also in addition to. So I'm like, yeah. So Katie just writes her partner like, hey, I don't know like what we're supposed to write, or her partner, it doesn't even matter. The point is they had the most
insane. No, it could have been something really, really embarrassing. I don't give a shit about stuff like that. Like that does not.
They have this exchange that makes absolutely no sense. I would have written back, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I thought it was an assignment. I missed it. Ha ha. Katie is so free and so authentic in who she is. I am in awe of that. She just saw the assignment come in and goes, oh, okay. And then sent the partner. Yeah, sent the assignment. Didn't give a shit. Didn't feel the need to explain herself. This is what I'm talking about. You can find people in your life that have different fears than you, and they can be inspirational to you.
Yeah, but
and
I have you are that to me. And you are that to me because I'm a people pleaser in other ways and care a lot. Like it's so triggering to me. Like I might not care what people think in that way or that example, but I do care that people think I'm like a really good, nice mom, and my son can be very handsy and physical and has hit people and has pulled your daughter's hair and things like that. And that is the shit that keeps me up for weeks Googling and how do I fix this? And what do I do? And why did I do this wrong? And blah, 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 blah. And so much of honestly, Joshua and Jackie's work has helped me to gather space around that and realize that that is my son's journey for him.
Yep.
But it's my journey for me. I mean, and it has nothing to do with him being right or wrong or good or bad. It has really so much more to learn about my limiting beliefs on myself that people are going to judge me that I'm a bad mom when he behaves this way. And it's such a low vibration. And Albie, I got news for you. Like he feels it the minute I'm like all accepting of his behavior and understanding of why he and I both need this part of his personality to get us to a better place, to get us to a higher consciousness. I mean, it's really a thing, but like, for example, that doesn't trigger Jackie. Like you're always talking about how great my kid is. And I'm like,
he's amazing.
I can't handle it.
He has one foot closer to the non-physical and he is just seeking his freedom. And we as a society judge parents based on their children's behavior. Your children are not you. They're not extensions of you. They're completely different people. And guess what? When we all come back and do this all again, he may be your brother or a neighbor.
I feel that. I told you I did some like past life regression. Who did I say? And I was like, tell me my son in my past life
was
my husband and we had it or an unrequited thing. And I don't mean this in like a gross Oedipal thing.
No, but this is the point.
But like the point is like we have some pre-birth intentions here.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. That are strong and real. And we have traveled together before. And Jackie Seiden Weiner, whatever you want to go by, and I have traveled together before. But this work I've seen benefit so many things from just like the mundane to like how Jackie was able to hold space for me in the deepest, darkest depths of my life, to even my husband having last week, he was really pissed that in our relationship, he's the bad cop, I'm the good cop. Mm-hmm. And he was really struggling one day being like, I don't like that people in our house when Albie is done something as a threat, will say, I'm going to tell daddy.
Okay. Right. It's a terrible narrative and a terrible line of fear that we are associating my husband with my son. And Adam was really upset about it. And I think pre-Jackie work, pre-Joshua work, I think I would have jumped quickly to say why that is the way it is, and right. why his childhood makes him the disciplinarian, and why I'm not, and this, that, and the other thing. And instead I sat there and I really listened, and I told him I loved him so much, and I see what he's saying, and that I am going to look at my strengths and weaknesses, and together as a relationship, let's figure out how I can make him, how I can help. What can I do? What can I do? How can I help? Well, and I kept saying that. And so then this week we were meeting with like a couple's behavior specialist with a kid, of like just helping us both have tools to like be better parents with our, the own set of limitations that he and I bring as parents to our son, how I can get better on my end, how he can feel better in his end. But it was just a much, so that's like one example of how this work has even helped my personal relationships. But then again, it's helped tremendously in my professional
Yes, and we're going to get to that. But I do want to say, you don't have strengths and weaknesses. Even that's limiting. And neither does he. This is the exact right situation in this exact moment. Now, people who don't know you, Katie does not like conflict. I have no problem with conflict.
No.
And that's why she was gifted this son who has...
And my husband who fucking
conjure up conflict. And it's really, on the outside, hysterical to watch. I think for Katie, it's torture on a daily basis. But you can see how it's for everyone's evolution and how it's beneficial to everyone, this relationship. And the more acceptance and the more understanding and the more seeing these limitations as perfection, everyone's evolving together. And honestly, we're going to get into Katie's, what's going on with her and the other, you know, we talk about the light bulbs and which is the brightest. All her light bulbs are shining super bright right now. Health, family, work. But the same thing is happening with her husband and her child. Like there is alignment happening, inspiration happening, and you will always butt up against more fears that you have to break through. It's a never ending cycle. So you sort of have to just embrace, and you've done this so beautifully, embrace that that's what it's going to be over and over again. That's why we're here in these bodies. Otherwise we'd be bored. We
don't
know
you think
everything.
Do you think it's why people say whatever your first fight is with your significant other is the same thing you repeat over and over and over again in a way, only because you haven't mastered that yet, or maybe in this lifetime, you're supposed to master that in this lifetime, you know, like.
Well, you've already come so far doing this that I think, no matter how strong your pre-birth intentions were, you've far surpassed just by being, because everyone's only goal in being here is to be on this journey of self-discovery and to express love and to be free and to be abundant and to be authentic. And so the more you're connected with your inner self, that's what you're doing. And that first fight you're having is because if you imagine that you are in love with somebody, you have all of that energy, that buzzing excitement energy when you're in love, the first thing that can slam you back to the ground would be probably your most intense fears being activated out of that. So if you're going to get in your first fight with somebody that you are so chemically obsessed with, it's going to be from your core fears. Because whatever that fight was, both people in the relationship has activated their deepest fear. So of course that's going to keep coming up over and over and over again, because those fears are like diamonds.
Yeah. Until you take that fear to the paper and like really,
and you'll keep doing it, but we just hope to decrease it. But that's why you pick that partner. I mean, that's part of the, that's the person that's going to help you grow. And
oh my God, Adam and I are like, we just did our 9-year wedding anniversary. We've been together 15 years. I can't imagine. And honestly, you guys listening, like in all honesty, he's the only man I've ever not cheated on in my whole life. I had so many boyfriends before Adam Shapiro. I cheated on all of them. Sorry if anybody and I really think it's because he is my, he's like in such a beautiful, curious, interesting, exciting way. He is my greatest test. My son is my greatest test. My daughter feels like, it just feels like
And I don't mean, I really don't mean test in a bad way. I really mean in a, like you could
catalyst,
say my perfect
catalyst
match.
For growth.
You could say my perfect match. You could say my soulmate. Yeah. You could say my test. It's all the fucking same size, different sides of the same fucking coin. And it's just like, he is my, I mean, we're just.
But you choose, listen, you choose. He is your catalyst for growth because you take it on to use the information to expand in love, but you don't have to do that.
That's true.
And so you seeing that way, again, perspective, zooming out and understanding how all the dynamics are working for your benefit. That's your free will. In any moment, you could drop down and say, this is bullshit. I'm not here for this. I'm out anytime. And I will say this. I had a big fight with Jason and I did some work and accessed, you know, my inner voice, which anyone can do, just take it to paper and ask a question. And I realized, oh, I can walk out the door. I don't have to be here. You don't have to be in this marriage. I don't have to be here. I am free. Mm-hmm. And in the real feeling of freedom in my body, of knowing that I could leave, suddenly I wasn't afraid. And I could see, I had always been like, how could I, what would happen to our friends? And like, how, what would I do? And all of a sudden now doing this work, I realized I would be fine. It would all
You would
work
be
out.
Fine.
So here's the thing. Now knowing I would be fine, I happily make the choice to be with him because I'm free. And so I now am with him in knowing that I'm freedom and making that choice every day. And you make that choice. And look, society says you can't abandon your kids, but you can. I mean,
people do it every day. It might be, I'm sure the statistics are more men do it than women, but who gives a shit? People do it.
But you are in this relationship and choosing to see that it's for your benefit. And that is beautiful and exciting.
By the way, that amount of freedom is how I feel. And I think is what's given Adam and me, honestly. I think it has given us success in terms of finances and in terms of our career, only because we have this joke that it is a joke, but I know it's true, which has always been like, oh, whatever. If this whole fucking thing goes belly up and we don't get acting jobs for like 2 years and we can't provide for our family, like we're just going to move to Portland, Oregon and start an acting school for kids. We say this because we don't
give
a fuck.
I got the chills. Yes, you're taking the pressure off like, of the state just, and you're not putting any sort of meaning on any of what our former definitions of success are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And we aren't like result. I actually
feel. And it sort of feels like a relief. Wouldn't it feel like a relief to just lose it all and be like,
I say to people, like when Adam, my husband, started this pretzel business, and Jackie knows this about me, I don't really put a lot of value. I know people say this, but I put a lot of value on experiential things. Like I really like travel and I like staying in nice places because it's cool and fun and weird and
Katie
whatever.
Katie doesn't give a shit. She is not, she's whatever Keeping Up with the Joneses opposite
is.
Yeah,
I don't like
she's
that.
She's like, she'll compete with you that her dollar is $10 from Amazon. While she's like
I'm
in Beverly Hills.
And like, I'm the first person to be like, if we are all gathering for a dinner and it's like, we haven't seen each other in forever. I'm like, so down on like, you can't take it with you. Let's make this experience amazing and spend a ton of money on that. Right. But I'm not like a bag person or like a shoe person, and no disrespect if you are, like, if that brings you value and love and excitement, like I know people that really get joy out of that. But I just mean this to say that when Adam started the pretzel business, it brought him such joy. And we both hadn't worked as actors for so long because of the pandemic. And I was like, fucking sell the house. I don't give a shit. I don't need this house. I don't need a 4-bedroom house in Studio City. I really don't care. Like, that's true. I mean, I just don't. And I think it's always given us a real sense of freedom, which you were talking about. And Adam and I also don't put, I don't put attachment, which has always been really helpful, on like the final result.
Exactly. That's it.
Like
that's
I've never
key.
Been an actor that's like, oh, when I get this award. And you know, I had to learn that pretty early on, I think is what happened. Was I remember in my 20s saying to myself, oh, I just got to get that series regular. I just got to get that series regular. I just
the carrot.
Get that series regular, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get that series regular and then you realize I just got to be the lead of one of the episodes. There's
never
series regulars on this show. And I didn't get to carry my own episode. The writers aren't writing for me because I'm not good enough and I'm not talented enough. And then it becomes, oh shit,
well, the other girls on the show got to do Jimmy Kimmel Live and they got to do Fallon and I didn't. I only got to do Seth Meyers. What does that mean? Do they not think I'm pretty enough or thin enough or funny enough or good enough to market the show? And then it becomes, oh shit, other people got a summer hiatus movie and I didn't get any of them. And I only have the TV show now. Does that mean all I'll ever be is Scandal? I mean, you guys.
Thank you so much for saying that.
King. Endless. I got news for you. It's endless.
You can't look to the conditions to make you feel. And you think if I just had $1 million, if I could just do this, but you are wishing out of lack. The conditions will not make you feel that. If you have the feeling of lack and you do acquire $1 million, you will be stressed about losing it. Or you'll buy a nicer house and then you'll be like, I got to get a new car. Everyone in this neighborhood is like a nice, then you get a new car. I only have a 2-car garage. You have to change how you feel within. It's a feeling reality. All you're ever doing is feeling something. And that's how this whole thing started today, which is probably why you inspired the words today, Katie, because the whole purpose of today is understanding to cultivate the feeling and excitement first, the feelings of love, connection. Connection is love. Disconnection is fear. And then when you don't need any of the other stuff, well, it comes because what you've done is you've cleared out your vibration, you've unclogged the pipes, and stuff can flow because all of that stuff is just stuff. The work is energy, money's energy, it's just energy coming in and out. So if you can just clean out the pipes by going, I am abundant in this moment, right now, I have enough air to breathe, not too much, not too little, I have water, I have food, I'm okay, and I can see the beauty. What do you want to do? I want to tell someone I love them. Do you need $500,000 to do that? No. Do that right now. Feel that love. And then you become a magnet because all that stuff already exists. And everyone who's listening, all the stuff you want already exists for you. You're just getting in the way of it coming to you. Katie was up for her, for not her first, but first that she is actually doing. She was up for a lead in a multi-camera comedy. And she had these beliefs about herself because she has starred in dramas. And her husband is hilarious. I'm going to let her tell the story about the realization you had about how you were limiting yourself and what that story was.
Yes. Okay. So I got, you know, an audition for a multicam comedy, a lead wife, you know, like a Patricia Heaton too. And Everybody Loves Raymond. Right. And I've always wanted this job. I have always thought it'd be such a cool, and not like in the way, like again, not result oriented, just like, oh God, that'd be so fun. If when I look back at this lifetime and everything I've done, and I really like acting and I think it's really fun and really cool. And I'm just like, God, it'd be so fun to be the wife on a sitcom. That looks like it'd be really a fucking fun job. And I've never gotten one and I don't have any on my resume. And I've always in my heart thought it's because I'm not funny enough. And it's because I only do dramas and that's what I do. I cry. Adam's the funny one in the relationship. I'm the straight clown. He's the funny one. No one's ever going to give me this kind of an opportunity. And when the opportunity arose to try and get it, I was like, holy shit, I better do some fucking work on myself because it's not about them. It's about me. I'm the one fucking, like before I've even walked in the room, I'm saying to myself, I'm not funny. Well, we're fucked, guys. Like if that's what I'm showing up with, then that's what I'm going to do. Like, that's not helpful.
I'll never forget you calling me because you were going to test. By the way, if you're going to test for a role, no one's doing you any favors at that level. No one's saying, oh, we love Katie. She's a nice person. We'll let her test for this and just see. Do you know what I'm saying? But still, those beliefs are ingrained deeply for years and years and years.
Ingrained. Guys, I've been on a drama for 10 years. Like, I don't get to do comedy. That's not what I do. Yes.
And she called. But meanwhile, everyone here died laughing when you said you're not having an orgasm. I mean, come on.
Sucks. Sucks.
I'll never forget.
This is not a great commercial for Zoloft, but it saved me in other ways. So, okay, keep going.
I'll never forget you called me and we were, you know, Katie's in the business now processing her limiting beliefs. And by the way, a limiting belief is just a belief without information. That's all it is. Okay. It's a belief you have about yourself that is limited. And she said to me, I don't do comedies. And I realize I am confining myself. That was the word. I'm confining myself and no one else is. I'm the only one that has relegated myself to just one thing. Everyone else here seems to think I can do this. Why am I the one? And I knew in that moment this role was hers because she unclogged the pipe. It sounds like you took a big dump. So maybe I'm going to use a different metaphor.
I did. I took a big dramatic dump.
Like, does Olaf do that? Yeah.
Yes,
a big spiritual dump. No, but you definitely cleaned out the vibration. You took the lesson. By the way, it all happened perfectly. Thank God you hadn't done a comedy until that moment. If you had done a comedy before that, it never would have pushed you to whatever work that it pushed you to do. It all happened divinely to get to that moment of aha after she had been through this incredibly difficult depression. And just so quickly after that, just started ascending. The timeline for this is, we're talking about just a couple months.
Like, she was born in November. I did it January. I got the, okay. I started Joshua work in February and like,
it was a month later, I think.
Yeah, like the end of March, I was like testing if you are, while I was shooting.
This is the thing. If you are ready to do the work, and by do the work, I mean when you feel any negative emotion or you realize you are having a belief, you feel anything negative, it is a cue to you that you have a limiting belief about yourself, no matter how big or how small. And if you just want to take it to the page and prove it false, and just ask your inner voice to talk to you and see what happens. If you are willing to do that, then you clear out all of the gunk and you cannot imagine what's coming. It's way bigger than you.
It's way bigger than you thought. Like, for example, like since I've cleared the gutters of this, which by the way, like even you sitting here, like I'm so fucking relieved that I have these tools and that I have Jackie and that I have the, paperwork, what do we call it? Manifestation events.
We've talked about them. Yeah.
Okay. So that I have them because honestly, once this ball started rolling, I was like, oh no, I'm going to book this job. And the reason I'm going to book this job is because I'm going to have to face this limiting belief again and again and again and a bigger one and a bigger one and a bigger one. And I feel so fucking grateful that I get to do it.
And remember the knowledge that who you are in this moment, or in the moment you got the job, got the call saying you got it. Imagine that version of you is not the same version of you that's going to show up on the first day of set. Well, you already did the pilot, but the first day of set for the series.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm already. Oh, guys, I saw it working. I made the choice. I remember. So the first couple days of the pilot, I was like, I could feel, I was like, oh God, all these CBS executives are here. They're over Zoom watching every minute of every single thing I do. This, it was like hell. Like the, like every joke that wasn't working, I felt like I'm being judged. And I said, you know what? I'm making a show about bowling in a global pandemic. Who the fuck cares? Like, fire me. Like, fire me. If you don't think I'm funny, fucking fire me, A. But no, B, that's my own limiting belief that I don't think I'm funny. So you know what? I'm going to show up at work today, all love, all peace, all surrender, all curious, like how Josh, when you say like, just really curious for this adventure. And
that's it. That's a high vibration.
Total, like, okay, like, what do you guys think? Like, if this isn't working, tell me something else. I'll try. Like, you know, it was just very all love and all abundance and all like, I am enough. And you know, what's crazy is that because of that and because of that energy. And also you guys, I was terrified. I mean, I'm opposite Pete Holmes, who's literally a comedic fucking genius of our time, like comedic fucking genius. And I am, he's telling me, trying to give, like telling, I'm asking him, he's not at all self-directing. Like, I don't mean to say he's a wonderful partner, but I'm just saying, like, I was asking for help. I was like, hey, I don't think I'm landing this joke. What do I do? And he was helping me. I mean, I was really left ego at the fucking door. Like, I was like, I need help. And just because of that energy, I believe my character tested through the fucking roof.
Yes, ma'am.
So much so that CBS offered me the lead of a romantic comedy in a movie that I'm currently here shooting in Vancouver.
There it is.
And I have to do all this funny shit. It's a fucking rom-com. Is it a Christmas movie? It is. Am I so stoked about it? I am.
Yes.
And
yes.
I get to do all this practice, comedy, romantic stuff before I go and shoot the comedy series for CBS.
Perfect.
And it's again, so much bigger than I could have ever thought for myself.
That's right.
It's so, again, I feel just so grateful to my postpartum depression.
Yep.
I feel grateful for Joshua work because the postpartum depression is what got me to Joshua. The Joshua is what got me to, the postpartum depression is what got me to Jackie. Jackie got me to Joshua. Jackie got me to the pilot. The pilot got me to Christmas. The Christmas movie got me to Vancouver, where I'm quarantining and having these two magical weeks with my children and really looking at my son as, and his and my relationship together, because we're stuck inside for 14 days in Canada. And I just keep coming back to this work. And I just keep feeling really grateful for this life's experience. And I don't even know, I just feel very abundant. I feel very abundant. I feel very love-filled. I feel very aligned.
That's right. And you don't need, and it's just the beginning, truly, because you were feeling that way even before it started, and that's what opened
you
up.
Yeah.
And now you just being in gratitude and not feel like the difference of, I'm so curious to see how just this whole season plays out in terms of how different you feel on set, how it informs how you are. But you've already started to say the difference in when you start to notice that you're getting nervous or afraid, to take the stakes out of it, not have an attachment to a result, have faith that whatever happens is for your highest good.
Absolutely.
And just take the leap, not worry about the net. Because
Absolutely.
Here's the fact, if on that day you bombed and you tested terribly and you got fired, that would still be for your benefit. But
absolutely, because you know what? I'm like, oh, is that, I would play that out in my head on the pilot, which was, oh, I get fired from CBS. I don't work in this town again. I sell my house. I'm going to buy something outright for 2 cents in Vermont, and I'm going to raise my children there. Like, I had already told myself that story too. And I was like, that would also be awesome. Like, I was also like, whatever, maybe that's where I'm supposed to learn stuff. Like,
that's a beautiful tip too. If you see that you don't need a net, that what you can imagine as you perceive as the worst case scenario is still a scenario that you can get yourself excited about, that's such an incredible, incredible help to reframe for people who want to leave a job or want to leave a relationship or want to start a new job or want to start a new relationship, that whatever you can imagine is the worst possible scenario. If you can see that even that is part of the illusion, it's for your benefit, it's for your growth, it's your inner self guiding you to the path of least resistance for what you truly want, and understand that it takes the angst, the stress, the worry out of it. And that's, there's no better example than that. And basically what happened is, because you did that, then you fly. Yeah. Then you're flying. So then you really don't need a safety net, because now you're not even walking on a building anymore. You are literally in the sky, spreading your wings. And of course, the movie is about you as a pilot. How perfect. You are flying.
I'm dying. That is so funny, guys. The movie's called Christmas Take Flight. I'm a pilot.
I also feel
so grateful. I think we should do another podcast because I'm curious. I've never been a number one before. I'm so honored.
Yeah, let's follow up and see
how
it's going.
I take the responsibility very seriously, but I also feel like it's such a practice in that for 21 days straight, I'm going to be working 14, 15 hour days. And I take being the leader and my energy on set very seriously, because I was able to work underneath Kerry Washington, who was an incredible number one for 10 years. And also like just really was the personification of grace, but also never brought her bullshit around, because she knew that you put that shit out and that's what you're going to get back. Right. That doesn't mean that there aren't boundaries and there aren't ways for you on set to be like, this is what I need, and I'm asking for what I need, and do it in like a professional way. But I just mean to say I'm really excited to go onto this set with a bunch of people in Canada that I don't fucking know and meet them with this high vibration that I'm at. Oh, yeah. And this high level of like all love and
excitement
and excitement and curiosity. And I really don't have fear around this or anything. So I'm really just like excited to be on set in this space and gift this to people and see what they give back to me and have it be this like big exercise. And also know that there are going to be days and moments where I'm really tired or cranky or whatever it is. And I'll see it. Like I'll see this one big experiment of like,
that's it. It's all it is. It's an adventure. It's another adventure. You're an example of alignment. Your whole goal is aligned with your inner self, which is just to add love to your reality, which adds love to their reality.
Exactly.
And see what happens. How does that affect people? I mean, look, we already know how it's going to affect people, but I just...
Oh my God, this producer just called me because she's producing a bunch of other projects and she's producing this one in Canada. And this big shitstorm happened and she had to call me this morning on a Saturday and say, I'm actually in Toronto. I'm not going to be on your project anymore. She was so scared to make this call. And she calls me and she was like, I just want to let you know, I could hear her like breathing really heavy. And she told me the news that there was going to be another producer on the movie. And I was like, that's great. And she nearly shit the bed of just sure. Like, I was like, it's fine. I'm not concerned at all. I was like, no, like, it's all good. Just put me in touch with her. It's fine. I wish you the best of luck on your project in Toronto. And she was like,
what a gift.
She was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh my God, enjoy your weekend. Because who the fuck cares?
Who cares? Like,
why does that matter?
Like, good for
have
you.
A good time in Toronto. I'm sure this woman is great. If she's not, we'll figure out how to help her. Like, she'll do great. Like, I it's just ridiculous. Like, everyone is freaking out all the time.
You're an example of alignment to everyone that comes in to your life. You always have been. You know, Katie has a superpower. Anyone who meets her, anyone, they just want more of Katie. Everyone wants to be Katie's.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Because you are love. Like I said, you are the most authentic. This is so exciting. Please come back so we can see how it's going.
Yeah.
Or how you feel it's not going. Because it doesn't matter.
And also like the big mistakes I'll make, which I'm sure there will be, and I will learn from them. Like that's
what
the
you
thing.
Perceive. What you perceive
what
is mistakes.
What I perceive is
but
mistakes.
But there are no. There's no
there
such
are none.
Thing.
No, because it will get me to a better place. That's the thing.
Right.
It will get
and
me
we'll
to
talk
a higher
about,
place.
I mean, like I'm like I'm the higher self police that I just said it's not a mistake, but it is true.
No, you are. You're like such an amazing, anyone who's listening, who's great, who's lucky enough to have Jackie Seiden in their personal life to like,
you should say hi to the one of the 13.
No, but like, it's real. Like if we get to have you as a friend, it's a fucking gift because Adam said to me the other day, I was like, I have to do this movie. He goes, no. You get to.
That's right.
And I was like, oh my God, you're right. You're right. I get to do this. I get to be in quarantine. I get to do this.
Well, let me tell you something. When you first got the call that you were going to do it, what was the feeling in your body?
To leave 2 days later to come to Canada?
No, just that you're going to be doing the lead of a Christmas movie. Just immediate. The first, like one moment response.
No, I can't do that.
That was your first response. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is...
No, fear was the first. Fear came in first. Fear is always my number one. Always.
Wow, that's amazing. So it wasn't excitement and then fear. It was fear. No. And then the excitement, you allowed the excitement in by opening the door.
Yes. The first thing was, no, I can't do this to my family. I'm afraid. Yeah. What is this? This
I'm related to that.
No. And then within like a couple minutes, I was like, wait a minute. I really want to do this. It's so yeah. fun. Wait, I want to go to Canada. Wait, can we make this happen? Wait, this is a really nice chunk of change. Wait, this
yes.
I want to go to Vancouver. Wait, I really like Christmas movies. Wait, I get to be the lead of this. Wait, yeah. This is a rom-com. Like all of a sudden it was just like the floodgates.
A
and I was
dream.
Like, oh, I just was... But I know that I go to fear immediately. I know that about myself.
I get it. Listen, it's, I also, I want to know how it's going. And I also want to know, we'll talk, maybe we'll get into more of like the parenting part of it too.
Because, oh, great. I would love it.
That part is so fascinating, dealing, you know, trying to stay aligned when you have a toddler.
That's my worst thing. Like, well, I'm so too. Lucky.
It's very
and, like,
hard.
I feel very good about like a lot of work I've done surrounding career and surrounding money and surrounding my relationship with my husband. But the newest venture is that I've been a mom for 3.5 years. So that's a short amount of time. And it's like doing this work on speed almost, because
steroids,
it's like,
yeah sure.
It's because it's really a wild ride. Wild.
It is for me too. And I'm curious because I have the same, that is for me, no matter how aligned I get, no matter how deeply aligned I feel, within minutes I can be knocked. And by knocked, I mean, I knock myself. I choose fear. I buy into the illusion.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful energy and motherhood and fatherhood, parentdom. And it can be intense. And I imagine it's going to be like this forever. So yep. If we can like do this work and work it out together now, then maybe it'll.
What about when
know.
Our kids are actually doing real stuff?
Like, well, that's I'm what I'm saying. Like, teenagers, maybe if we can reduce Ooh. Our fear around it and let them live.
We have to. We have to. We have no other. I mean, we have to.
I mean, look, when I'm
already jumping to my son coming home being like, she's pregnant and we're like 15 right. years old. And I'm like, I better get my fucking work done. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I mean, I think of the freedom that I got as a kid with my parents. I mean, my mom had a bell in the garage. We would all play in the street around the block, riding our bikes, all just passing up the boys to see what the boys were doing. Like, we were all doing whatever in the street till the sun came down. Then I would hear the bell down the street and go home. That's just not how things are now. But imagine that much freedom.
Ugh, I wish. Just because it would take the pressure off. I mean, good Lord.
I know. It's all so amazing. I just am so grateful that you're here. And I'm so grateful for the message that I do think will resonate with people who, if you can understand that wherever you are, it's exactly where you're meant to be, no matter where you are in the spectrum or where you're judging yourself to be, if you're in the lowest of low and having a hard time, then you just give yourself some grace and you want to lay on the couch and take a nap, go easy on yourself. You want to just hang out and have some ice cream. Are you ready to act on some of the inspired ideas coming to you? The inspired ideas don't have to be the next idea for a big billion-dollar business. The inspired idea could be to call a parent and to say, I love you. Are you ready to do that? Go little by little. You do not have to jump. The needle has to go through every notch to get to the other side. That's how we created this reality. That's how these dimensions work. So you just have some grace with yourself and get excited, get curious, realize that everything you have, you can lose it. It doesn't matter. It will be okay. You can't really lose anything once it's in your vibration anyway. And go ahead and just take that leap. Take the leap. Follow your highest excitement, not something you're trying to control or trying to change because you want to make a lot of money or do this or that, but because it makes you feel good. I want to sew. It doesn't make any sense based on what my job is. Who cares? Go ahead and do it. Make a pillow for your friend. Take that leap, fly, and just see where it goes. Have so much fun with the people around you. Connect. Add love, add love, add love. Process the fears. When they come up, be grateful for them. Do not be hard on yourself. Be grateful that you're doing the work. Be grateful that you've come here to listen to this conversation today. Give yourself some love. Give people love. Let it all go. Have fun. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you.
Oh my word. I love that girl so much. Can't you see why? Thank you so much for joining us again. We had the best time as always. I just want to give the biggest thank you to the Katie Lowe's. And until next time, sending love.